Hello, Hope Grown Faith. I'm so excited to have with me again for another mom mentor. We have Katie Westenberg here today, and I'm really excited to have her because I stumbled across an article that she'd written a while ago, and I thought, this is like exactly what we need to talk about here in this group today. So I'm really glad that I guess God led me to her article, and here she is willing to chat with us today. So thank you, Katie, for coming.
Hey.
And Katie, how about you introduce yourself to our group?
All right. As you said, my name is Katie Westenberg, and I live in the Pacific Northwest in Washington State, in the non-Seattle part. Everyone thinks of Seattle, and they think of Washington State. So it's actually dry out here, and I've lived my entire life out here. I married my high school sweetheart. Didn't plan it that way, but that's the way God planned it. And we have four kids. My youngest is 7. My oldest is 14. We have boy bookends and then girls in the middle. And I homeschool them and write a little bit on the side. That's what I've been doing mostly the past 4 or 5 years, and I have my first book coming out next summer.
So, you have a book coming out next summer, you just said?
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called I Choose Brave, after the name of my blog and a lot of my writing.
Oh, that's awesome. Exciting. Well, next summer, so 2020.
That's great. Yep.
Cool. Well, we'll have to look for that. Thanks for sharing. Okay, so, well, I guess we'll just get right into our questions then. So tell me, Katie, here's your first official question. How do you, as Katie, keep your faith flame burning when you are homeschooling and working and writing a book? How does that work for you?
Yeah. Actually, when I think about that question, I find that in the most challenging seasons of life, for some reason, it's actually easiest for me to keep the faith flame burning because that's when I'm most desperate. Whenever I come strong and think I have it all under control, I tend to fill with pride or think I can manage it all and am not as needy for the Lord. So when I'm in these seasons where things are tough and it's hard to get all the things done and I don't know how I'm going to manage it, are the kids going to turn out all right? Am I actually passing on what I need to do? Am I making the deadline? That's when I come to the Lord completely hands wide open and say, this can't be me. I'm not enough for this job and I need you. So it actually works inversely. I don't know if that's normal for everyone, but when I thought about it, I thought it's the challenging times that I'm most desperately seeking Him. I'm in the Word and everything resonates. It's kind of like when you're listening to the radio, you turn it up all loud on those happy days and you're just blasting it. But on the days that you were hurt or you were needy or you were spent, those words of the song are what resonate deeply. The word I needed. So I find when I meet the Lord in the Word and I'm in a hard place, it's easier to connect. It's easier to know the propensity of my needs for Him there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think that happens to a lot of us too when we're more desperate than we are more seeking of God.
Yes.
Which is why I think that the people that have traditionally turned more toward Jesus have been the children and the women and the oppressed instead of the people on the dominant end of the power structure, because we're more desperate. So happens in our fluctuates in our lives too like that.
Right. I think we sometimes are adverse to the challenges, or we're adverse to having that heavy load because it's scary and hard. But sometimes I think that adversity is kind of mixed up in our head. We're meant to do hard work. We're meant to do hard things. And that's the invitation, not it's not the downfall.
Yes, that's true. All right. So let's talk about this article that you wrote. I shared it into the group this morning. I'm not sure if anybody had a chance to read it yet, but it was about, what to do when you want your husband to be more Christian or a little bit Christian or even Christian at all. And I love that it started with listening to a podcast on minimalism, which is so crazy when sometimes God just takes something so out of context and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah,
so exactly. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I think the question stems from, I think it's that it's universal to begin with, the question. We see it in different forms, no matter where we are in our faith or maybe where our husbands are in their faith, but we have this tendency to wish for something more, either from our own expectations or from comparison, what we see in other families. And we think, if only he did devotions with the family, if only he was leading us in prayer, if only, we see it done well from our filtered or outside perspective. And we think that's going to be the cure or the answer. So I don't think it's just applicable to one stage of life or one relationship scenario. It really is a universal question that we're after something. And the way we handle that, I really believe, is everything. And it's outlined in scripture, but probably not as often talked about as it should be. But that really makes all the difference, how we look at solving that problem, how we look at making that change. And so when I came across the podcast that was talking about minimalism, and in that podcast, she was saying, one lady asked the question, the big question is, how do we get our husband on board? And so you can look at that through the faith lens, but you can look at that through the home minimalism lens, or get your husband on this healthy diet, or get him to start working out, or whatever, right? And it's always easier when we're both on the same page doing the exact same thing, which happens almost never in life. Like, we spiritually grow at different paces and stages, and we decide to get in shape maybe at different paces and stages. So how do we live in the flux of this doesn't always happen the way we think it's going to look at the time we think it's going to look? And that's frustrating. That produces attention in us. But at the same time, I was just thinking this morning in the Proverbs, how much it talks about a nagging wife. Like, it's embarrassing. Yeah. Google, how many times in Proverbs does it speak of a nagging wife, that it'd be better to be alone on a rooftop than be in a home with a nagging wife, that it'd be better to hear the drip of the rain constantly than being in a home with a nagging wife. And so I think that's there because we have this tendency in us, which probably comes from a good place, wanting to fix it, but it doesn't always turn out in the way that's the most effective, because the men would rather be on a roof than hang out with that kind of wife, right? Mm-hmm. So how can we take that good call to move towards something better and use it in a way that's actually effective? And I think as women, we can tend to over-spiritualize that matter, because this isn't even trying to get our husband in shape, or this isn't even trying to make our homes more tidy. This is image of God stuff. Like, this is so spiritualize our nagging when it's still just nagging. It's us trying to accomplish something and someone else usually doesn't work well. So it was the verse in 2 Peter, verse 3, where he talks about without a word. And those are the words that jump off the page. I think I found a verse right here for you. Wives, likewise. This is when it's talking about submission, which always gets a little uncomfortable for us. Be submissive to your husband, that even if some do not obey the word, so even if they're not in obedience to the word, without a word from us, they may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Some translations say your purity with reverence. So just without words, just by our actions, that would point them to Christ. So there's no nagging like the rain that won't stop. There's no man wanting to run up to a roof. It's purity and reverence for God that's attracting him. So in that podcast where they were talking about how do we get our husbands to adopt minimalism, her answer, and this was not even a godly podcast, to the best of my knowledge, she just said, you don't. Like, I just did it and said, if you're not into this, that's fine. What spaces do you love? You can have the garage, have it as messy as you want to be, but the spaces that you don't mind me employing this method of decorating our home, then I'm going to do that. And then it was just a few years later that he saw, that's kind of freeing and that's kind of wonderful. And after a couple of years, not by her nagging, but by her conduct, he wanted to do that to the garage too. Can we simplify this garage? Can we have less things that makes that give us more freedom to move about in this space? And so it was the exact representation of what scripture, like, of course it's going to work when we do it in a biblical manner, isn't it? So that's what got my attention.
Yeah, no kidding. That's incredible. I love what you're saying. Like, this is just a huge natural human thing that we just want, you know, the grass is always greener over there. If only you were like that. If only my family was like that. If only my kids went to church with me on Sunday without grumbling.
Because everyone else would do, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. That's not true. So I guess the key then for us is just to continue to follow Christ on our own, right? And to live in that.
How you've been studying the fruit of the Spirit, son. Mm-hmm. Another example of this I saw the other day was Abigail Dodds. She's a writer that I love to follow. So I follow her on Instagram. And she likes to make bread. Women are into this making the sourdough bread, which is, I don't know, it's so amazing to watch because I don't do it at all. You know, one of those things you appreciate from afar. So she had this little video and she's making bread and her son is there watching her make bread and she's moving it with her hands and it just looks all artistic and beautiful. And there's her son kind of playing on the side and she has another ball of dough sitting over there. And as she's doing it, she's keeping her eye on him. And like any bizarre 5-year-old that you have no idea what they're going to do next at some point, he looks at that dough and he just sticks his tongue out and runs it across the dough. Totally unexpected. And it was hilarious, right? So that's why she's sharing the video. But what caught my eye in that video is the way she responded. Like, she immediately just, like, threw her head back and laughed and kind of, like, pushed him aside. Like, she'll be doing that. But But she corrected him with such joy that that's what caught my attention. Like, wow, I'm not sure I would have done that. Obviously, you know, she's being videoed. So you're going to act hopefully a little more joyful. But then, I mean, she wouldn't have found that. She could have not posted or whatever. But she found the levity and the joy in that she's training this child. And yes, five-year-olds act bizarrely sometimes. We don't know what to expect. And she found the joy in it. So what pointed me toward better mothering there is, can I find the joy in what I have to do here? And that's the same thing with the woman on minimalism. It was her joy that was attractive. That's the fruit of the spirit working in us. That's what they're going to see if we're doing this right, if we're following Christ in a joyful manner versus nagging. Which one are you going to run to? Which one's going to be more attractive?
Yeah.
So I think right in line with what you guys are studying.
Yeah, and you were saying in your article too that, I mean, Jesus tells us they will know you are my followers by your love for each other. So when you are like me, when you are filled with love and joy and peace and patience, then it makes a huge difference in how our husbands see us.
Yeah, the nagging, not so much.
Yeah, that's not like any of those things. Nagging is not a fruit of the spirit. Too bad.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because that means that if it's nagging is not a fruit of the spirit, then God doesn't nag us either.
Yes.
So
shame voices. Yeah, not him.
He's not like that. So in your own life with your family, what's one way that you share Jesus with your kids that really just feels like a good connection with your kids that works really well for your family?
Mm-hmm. I love this question because this is the application. This is the real life part of it. I will tell you that we do try to do devotions most of the time. They get messed up on schedule. We try to memorize verses, try to do all those good things with our kids. But when I thought about like what really resonates with my kids, it's me living life on purpose, like me living off the gospel in real time. And they notice it. That's what's so amazing to me. There was a time just a couple of months ago when I had to go to a meeting. So I was dressed up to go to the meeting, like the time where you do makeup and hair and put on earrings, right? Mm-hmm. Not how I am, like 95% of the time when I'm home homeschooling. So I went to this meeting and then I had to go run and meet another mom to do something. And I ran into this mom who's going through an incredibly difficult time, like incredibly challenging medical issues and just awful stuff, devastating. And I ran into her and she was spent. And I told her like, I'm so sorry this is going on, had a little conversation. And then the one thing she noticed, she's like, you always look so good together. And she noticed this contrast between where I was and where she was. And when I left, it broke my heart because I thought she doesn't know that I was wearing yoga pants and no makeup all day long. I just had to go to this meeting, but that was the contrast that gripped her. When I got home, I was telling my husband about that. Like, I hate that she noticed that because she's in a spot where that's not even an issue for her. She has so many greater issues on her part that, you know, but that's what stuck out to her. So I was just like, my heart was kind of breaking for her. I was relaying this to my husband. I didn't realize that my teenager, he was in the other room and kind of listening. And a couple of days later, he said, I love, Mom, that you noticed that woman and that your heart hurt for her and that you wondered how what you were wearing like affected her in that situation. So he saw my heart behind what I was doing. And I wasn't out there preaching a message. I was just living it real and messy, not even knowing like, I kind of wish I wasn't wearing matching earrings that day. Just silly stuff. Right? Like, how can I best reflect him and image him in this environment I'm moving in and not have these competitions or separations or whatever it might be amongst women? Just real life stuff. And my kids saw me doing that and that resonated. Like, I saw you in so many words, he's saying. Try to be Jesus to that woman and try to get it right and try to do the best you can to image him in the world around you. So as I think about the perfect devotions, like there's a plenty of great ones out there and we've had meaningful moments and memorable moments from those. Mm-hmm. But really when it's just me trying to live the gospel out and they can see it's messy and not always perfect and sometimes it's asking for forgiveness. But when they see that, I think that's the best ministry we do.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Can you remind me, you may have told me already, what ages are your kids again?
My youngest is 7.
Okay.
And then I have a 9, 11, and 14-year-old.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So there, have any of the other ones noticed anything? That's a pretty powerful moment that he specifically said, I saw that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Younger kids aren't really that often astute in, you know, putting those things together. But they're still watching.
They are watching. Yeah. And I think that sneaks up on us. Because forever I felt like I've had younger kids. I have all these little kids, right? But you don't. Like, they're growing up and they're perceiving and they see what we value. They see where I spend my time. They see what makes me happy and what frustrates me. So all of that, in a way, is ministry. They see when I'm reading my Bible or when I'm scrolling on my phone. And not that any of that is wholly good or wholly bad, but they see the big picture. There's no filtered screens or Instagram squares that they're looking through. They're seeing behind the scenes. So I might be able to see the rest of the world, right? But they know if mom is impatient or if she, you know, what she cares about and what she doesn't care about. So that the ministry of life is a pretty hard thing to tackle, but it's important. That's what they see.
Wow, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. The ministry of life. I like that phrase. So do you have any advice or encouragement for a mom who wants to step up and, you know, share Jesus with her kids, but she's really worried about, you know, stepping on her husband's toes or usurping his place? That's kind of how I felt for a long time. Like, he was supposed to be doing this. But at a certain point, I just had to say, okay, Jesus is calling me to do this, so I just have to do it. Yeah. So let her rip. You got any advice or encouragement or stories from real life? Or
I think you hit the nail on the head that sometimes we use what we don't have as our own scapegoat, right? And I've seen women do that. Like, if he's not going to do it, they just see the whole thing burning. And really, it's an excuse for us to not engage as well, because sometimes that's easier than, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to disciple my children's heart? That's a big thing. That's a big, heavy, hard thing. And we can all feel ill-equipped to do that, and we have to trust the Holy Spirit and to lean into that. Like, what can I do? Can it do this? Can it look like this? I feel like a failure because I missed devotion. And so putting it on him, on our husbands, is so much easier, particularly when they're failing. Like, well, that's his responsibility. I guess that's not getting done. Well, if someone doesn't clean the bathrooms in our house, are we just going to walk the pot? Like, no, it still has to be done. And if we think it's the husband's job to take out the trash and it doesn't get, someone's still got to do it, right? So I love in 2 Timothy, in the opening verses, it's like verse 3 and 4, Paul is talking about Timothy's faith, and Timothy's faith is accredited to Lois, his grandmother, and Eunice, his mom. He says, we see in you the faith we saw in your grandmother and your mother. And that's always just blew my mind, because there's so much we don't know there. Were his grandfather and father dead? Did they not believe? We don't know. There's a lot we don't know, but there's a reason Paul put it there. And he thought, I want you to know the faith we see in you, that's from your grandma. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first step, is not to use it as a scapegoat, not to slough responsibility. What does that look like in everyone's home? If you are going to usurp your husband, if that is going to feel like an attack, are you going to replace him? I think we have to trust the Holy Spirit to lead us there. We have to pray, like, what can I do, God? What can I do in my time? What can I, how can I speak this to my children and not feel like I'm coming against my husband? But let me tell you, if we're going to believe in the ministry of life concept, that it is just when we're going about, they're going to see it in us. And that's not, joy is not going to usurp your husband's authority, right? Happiness and love and forgiveness is not going to usurp your husband's authority. So I think there's a way, definitely a way to do it, to engage and to encourage them spiritually. And the first thing is always going to be modeling. They know, again, what you value if you're spending time in the Word. So if you're going to tell them to do that, they're going to see if mom is. There's times it's been as simple as, when I'm reading my Bible in the morning, and then your kids wake up early, and I wake up early, so I beat them, right? In the mornings, they wake up early, it's like, well, that's ruined, you know? What a great dad was a mom, like, oh, they're up. And so I just said, my Bible reading, I think I'm just going to read it out loud, okay? Mm-hmm. And then, okay, and this is the time, what was it? It was Daniel. Daniel, because everyone hears about Daniel in the lion's den, right? But it was Daniel when he was giving up the king's fine food. Oh. So they don't know this story, and they're like, wait, what? Why wouldn't he take the food? And so I engaged all these conversations from nothing amazing on my part whatsoever. Just like, I guess I'll just read it aloud because you're all here. So we'll just, you know, like that's the Holy Spirit, the divine, entering your just basic mom moments. Can you help me out in this arena? And I don't know any husband. He's not even going to, you know, if he's at work, he's not going to be there to offend in that moment.
No,
not
at all.
Keep praying about it. Keep praying for opportunities to let the fruit of the Spirit pour out over your children. And that's not offensive. Love and kindness, joy, that's not offensive.
No, you're right. None of those things are offensive. Well, that's great. Thank you for this excellent advice and encouragement. So you mentioned a little bit about your blog, ichoosebrave.com, right?
Yeah.
Right. Is there anywhere else? And you have a book coming out next year, which is exciting. And is there anything else that you want to share with us? Like, where can we find you on Facebook or Instagram?
Yeah, my handle is I Choose Brave everywhere. Okay. And I write a few other places, but it's simple to find. Yep, I Choose Brave.
That's fantastic.
Instagram and Facebook are where I am.
Awesome. Well, we'll go find you there. Thanks so much, Katie.
Thank
Then now,
you.
before we leave, did you have anything else that you were like, oh, I just really wanted to say this?
Yeah, just play around with those verses. Look up in Proverbs the nagging, like nagging woman. Look that up and just know, set in your heart for your day. This is what I want to be, Lord. Give me opportunities, eyes to see, to utilize the moments I have. And I think you'll be blown away by the opportunities He gives you, little things that have big impact.
That's beautiful. Yeah, just partner with God in that, right? We're gonna pray. Okay.
Yes.
We can do that. Okay. Thanks so much, Katie. I'm just gonna
Yes, thank you.